Hello guys, welcome to another quick podcast. This is a series of podcasts that I'm making for intermediates, and today's episode is on skiing and day game and my story of being a complete beginner at something again. Before we begin, here are a few upsells. You can go to my website, thomascrownpeaway.com, and you'll find all the information on my books, my Patreon, and my coaching. In terms of books, I sell my first year of day game memoir, a texting guide, intermediate textbook, and a book of all my best blog posts. And at the moment, I'm working on my beginner's guide to day game as well. You'll find the information for my Patreon, where there are my infields, analysis of those, exclusive Q&As and content, texting and dating analysis. You can also find all the information for coaching with me, whether that's on a call or in field. Again, that's on my website, thomascrownpeaway.com. Lastly, you can follow me on X at Crown Day Game. And if you think you have a topic for this series of podcasts that you think would be good, then send me a message there on X via DM or else using my website with the contact form. Let's get into the podcast then. So why skiing? And, you know, how am I going to link it to day game? So, of course, you know, it's not going to be a perfect analogy, far from it. Really, what I want to talk about is the similarities in the process of learning something, of being a beginner at something again, and how certain things I took from day game or that I learned from day game, I'm seeing come up again in skiing. Now, skiing, I think a big similarity to day game is that you have an access to these moments of flow. The reason why I decided to try and learn how to ski is that my girlfriend, she's been skiing since she was really, really young. That's something her and her family love to do, and I want to be part of that. And of course, I know it's going to be fun, but that was the big motivation for me to do it. Because otherwise, you know, I could go and learn, but then, you know, what's going to push me to keep on learning it? So my very first experience of skiing was we were in her home country and we went out to a local sort of resort. And, you know, I was not ready at all. I hadn't watched any videos or I didn't understand at all how to ski. We didn't get any kind of coaching. I turned up wearing jeans and a woolen overcoat. I put the helmet on. I put the skis on. We went on to the most greenest of green slopes. And I just went... Doof, doof, doof. Now, I was there with my girlfriend's mum. And, you know, she obviously had good intentions. But I think she tried to get me started too quickly. If you know about skiing, you begin by doing something called a snowplow, which is where your skis are sort of pointing towards each other like a pizza slice, and then as you weight each leg, it allows you to turn and you sort of get comfortable coming down some slopes by doing that. The next level up, so for me, I would say a snowplow is a beginner, and then when you go between snowplow and the next level is like parallel skiing, which is what you'll see in videos, which are where the skis are parallel the whole time. That's if you can do parallel, that's like an intermediate, and in between is like when you're going from snowplow to parallel, that's like lower intermediate. So anyway, we were at this local sort of ski slope and yeah, just fell over again and again and again. And we had planned, it was me, my girlfriend, her family, we were going to go for a ski holiday. So I was like, holy crap, I'm going to need to learn how to ski. Otherwise, you know, this is going to be such a waste of money. So I went to, there's an indoor ski slope near London and I went there to take some lessons. Or take a lesson. Then I went on the trip and loved it. It was in the Alps, you know, it was lovely mountain air, beautiful weather, the cold. I quite like the cold in that. I don't like cold for day game, but that kind of cold up there, it feels lovely because of the snow. It's not like it's dreary or humid, it's like a dry cold. And of course, the beautiful views, you're looking at the mountains, and there's something totally different about looking at a mountain, like a natural massive object, rather than a skyscraper. There's a real heart-aching beauty in seeing the mountains compared to just looking at something man-made, which is big. And of course, you have the enjoyment of actually skiing, you know, the rush, the adrenaline, all those things. Anyway, so I learned a lot on that week in the Alps, and then I came back to London. And now this was around between 2022, 2023. Came back to London, and I did another lesson at the place, it's in Hemel Hempstead. And then I did another session after that, but that was in March of 23. And then I just stopped because I didn't have that. pressure of the trip coming up to make me think, crap, I've got to get better at this. And so I let it slide. And so then again, I knew that I would be going back to that original slope last year, at the end of last year. And I thought, oh, okay, I need to go back to this place, Hemel Hempstead, again to practice. And I did that. I went to the slope. And the fun thing was, the very first time I was there, that was when I was wearing the jeans, the overcoat, I was falling over so many times. I went back there and looked at it and just thought, wow, that is so gentle. That is, doesn't even look like it's a slope at all. And the fact that I fell over so many times and then came back and just thought, this is so easy, was a great reminder for me of like how much better I'd become. Of course, I could then go on and do harder slopes, but that was just a very good reminder for me about how much I'd improved. So that's just kind of my story. But the real thing I want to talk about today on this podcast is about being an absolute beginner at something and the similarities to day game. So the first thing I want to talk about, I think I've got about six points here to talk about. The first one is that the first similarity is that you have to be willing to fall over and be embarrassed. And so the day game equivalent would be you have to be willing to get blown out. And for me, every time I fell over doing skiing, it was like an opportunity to learn from what happened. Same thing with blowouts. You know, if you keep on getting blown out, there might be something about your stop, your eye contact, your facial expression. And I was reminding myself not to judge myself. It's quite easy to allow your ego to get involved in this because we all want to be good at stuff. And of course, like if you're skiing, you notice, I mean, there's like 3-year-old kids who are going down the mountain, and me as like a 30-year-old guy just keep on falling over. It can be embarrassing, but you know, be willing to be embarrassed. And don't think just because I fall over during skiing or I get blown out in day game that I'm a bad person or something. And of course, that reframe of being like, that's an opportunity to learn, means that you put yourself in more situations to learn because you're willing to have those things happen to you. Of course, you know, you're being safe. You know, I wasn't doing anything dangerous while skiing, but you're going to fall over. But anytime it happened, I was thinking, okay, what is it I did wrong in that circumstance? And then what I would do is on my next run, I would focus on just getting that thing right. So maybe we'll sort of get onto this. And the second point is that you have to do things which seem counterintuitive to start with. So one reason why I might have fallen over a lot in skiing is that I was leaning the wrong way. You know, you have to lean forward down the slope. And that's counterintuitive because you think if I lean down the slope, I'm going to fall over. But in reality, it helps you to keep your balance and to brake and slow yourself down. Again, I'm no expert in skiing. I would definitely put myself in that lower intermediate group. So I might say things about skiing which are incorrect, but you know, cut me some slack because I'm new to it. Anyway, so point number two, similarities and experiences, that you have to just do things which seem counterintuitive to start with. Like, for example, leaning downhill. But the key thing is that you always learn by reference experiences. Like, you know, I've always said that there are two ways of knowing something, or there just are two ways of knowing something, logically and emotionally. So someone could say to me, okay, you have to lean downhill. And I'd say, okay, because they might be more experienced than me. But you don't really know it emotionally until you actually do it. So, for example, let's think about a beginner thing of day game, where holding the frame or something. A guy might think, oh, you know, but if I hold the frame, the girl's going to get angry at me and she's going to leave. Or let's think of another one. If I tell if you say to a girl, oh, let's meet at this place for a date, she's going to get annoyed because I'm not asking her what she wants. But in reality, that's what girls want. So it might seem counterintuitive to start with, but once you actually do it in real life, you get the positive reference experience, then you realize, ah, okay, that's why they say it, because it works. One thing I want to add on to this point is that generating positive reference experiences always seem to come for me at the end of a long session. So I would go, you know, you'd have a date. When I was in the Alps, you know, you'd ski for like 6 hours a day or something. When I go out to this place in Helmer Hempstead, I'm there for like anywhere from 4 to 6 hours, and it always seems to be at the very end where the lessons try to start to kick in. And I think that's just because I'm warmed up fully and I've gone through a series of mistakes during the session itself and slowly fixed them within the session, and by the end then I'm ready to learn something new. So it's just another similarity in experience that day game wise, for example, you probably shouldn't be going out and just doing like half an hour here, half an hour there. Do actually try and get out there and do a full 2 hour session, because it might only be, or another example is like, don't go out and just do 2 sets or 3 sets when you're trying to learn. You have to kind of go out and try 10 sets, because it might only be towards the 7th or 8th set when you're actually warmed up, or you've actually got rid of them, you sort of temporarily got rid of the mistakes that were holding you back. Now, similarity number 3 is to avoid panicking and to keep your breathing good. One thing that was happening to me when I was very first starting with skiing was like, once I start to pick up speed, I would panic and immediately think, okay, fall over, because my instinct would be that I would think to myself, that's the only way to stay safe, just fall over. Even though I knew exactly what I needed to do to slow myself down. And again, this kind of links into what the previous point about positive reference experiences is, that you just have to trust the process and try it once. And when you try it once and you're successful, then you're like, ah, okay, that's why they say to do it this way. I talked about breathing as well. It's just because, in my opinion, keeping a steady breathing rate is a great way to keep yourself calm during something. I also think that you can normally only focus on one thing at once and everything else will go on autopilot. So you raise your skills up in different area, but then once you focus on breathing, then you can let everything go on autopilot. So that's why this similarity was not panicking, trusting the process, and then using breathing to calm yourself down, which I do a lot in day game as well. Like, as I'm walking over to talk to the girl, I take deep breaths in through my nose and out through my mouth to calm myself, to focus on her. And as I'm about to do the stop, I take one deep breath in through my nose and let it out as I'm going to do the stop. In fact, before I did this podcast, I literally took a deep breath in and then let it out, and then I press record and get started. Next similarity, I sort of mentioned this already, was that feeling of flow and finding moments of increased control. I can definitely say that there have been moments, even though I'm, you know, definitely not a good skier, I'm like, fine, I'm okay, is that there are these moments where I actually do feel totally in control of the skis moving over the snow. And you'll have to forgive me for this sort of like flowery point, but that it feels that I'm not skiing. It's not like me on top of the skis on top of the snow. It's more like the snow, the skis and myself are one entity. And it's like I'm rolling the skis over the snow, just as if you could take your hand right now and roll it over your leg or rub it over your jeans or something like that. It really felt like it was one coherent thing rather than me applying myself to the snow and the skis. And you can find those same experiences in day game. That's, you know, going into flow. It's that moment when you're not really thinking about it. You're just doing and things are going really well. You sort of forget about time. Things feel amazing. One thing that helps with achieving flow is that flow occurs where, this is the psychological phenomena of flow, it occurs where there's a high level of difficulty and a high level of skill. Or I think that it doesn't necessarily have to be a high level. It's not like you have to be an Olympic athlete, but it's the point where your skill is perfectly matched by the difficulty. And so you get this amazing in the moment feeling of increasing control, which makes you really enjoy it. One thing that really helps actually with that in skiing is the fact that the slopes, at least in Europe, they go green, blue, red, black. And so you literally can be like, okay, I want to increase the difficulty now. When it comes to day game, I mean, I guess you can travel to cities where the girls are hotter, or you can do sets where it's in more difficult situations. So it's different in that way of being able to pick the difficulty, but they are both activities where you can reach flow, and which make them really addictive, because you then start to really like, oh, I want to get that feeling back. The next similarity is just the insane amount of content available. Of course, I'm sure you'll know the amount of content there is about game. For me, I mean, what I always recommend for guys in day game is like, just pick a coach. Doesn't have to be me, could be anyone. And really just follow everything or consume everything they've made and just kind of focus on that one coach. Like when I started, I just listened to Torero and Krauser, and that was great because it created this sort of unified vision of how day game should be done, which would increase my conviction. Because, you know, if you think to yourself, there's only one way this can be done, then you feel like you have like the one and only way. So you have a higher conviction and more enthusiasm. Now, when it comes to skiing content, yeah, there's tons and tons of it. I ended up following mostly, there's this channel on YouTube called SKNG Ski School. And they have a few playlists, like beginners, guide to skiing, intermediate and expert. Of course, I've only really looked at beginner and intermediate. And the content's from 2015. One thing I found really interesting was that the way that the videos are edited, they're like 2-3 minutes long. They're really similar to Tom Torero's Street Hustle videos. And I don't know whether or not whether he was inspired by them. I mean, maybe the skiing stuff was inspired by him. But what they'll do is they'll take one concept, put it into a 2 or 3 minute video where the guy demonstrates, and that's it. And it's very nice bite-sized chunks of information. And you can, of course, revisit it either. You can watch the whole thing. Like, for example, before I went to the Alps, on the Alps trip, I rewatched the whole playlist. Or else, you know, you can go back into it in case there's one particular thing you want to brush up on. So that's another similarity, just the insane amount of content, but the benefits you'll get from focusing on one or two good sources of content. And the very last similarity is that I found you really have to keep practicing and keep going in the off season. So my mistake was that I didn't do any skiing last year between mid-March and December. Now, of course, you know, you can't really ski in the UK, but there's this indoor ski slope at Hemel Hempstead, just outside of London, where you can go and practice, learn, and get better. One thing I've sort of set myself a bit of it was like a New Year's resolution, is that I'm going to try and ski every month in 2024. So I did my January session yesterday. I'm going to be going back to the same small resort near my girlfriend's parents' place in February, and then from March for the rest of the year I'm going to make sure I go up to Hemel Hempstead again and keep practicing. It reminds me of something I heard once. A guy was talking about talking about learning something and saying, people will say, oh, I've been learning this skill for 5 years, but really what you have to ask is like, how much time did you learn this skill consistently? Because if you spent a month doing it here and another month there, or else you're kind of doing it once every few months, you're not really getting a chance to learn properly. It really has to be consistent. And it's similar to day game in that, you know, you can't just be day gaming in the spring and summer and then take the autumn off and December and then come back again. You have to begin with, go consistently. Like I've always said, you should always day game through your first winter. I guess with skiing, it should be that you should ski through your first summer. And that's something I want to fix this year. Okay, that's all of the similarities I have there. I want to thank Sherston, because I went through my notes on this podcast with him, because he used to be a ski instructor and we were talking about similarities. So I really want to thank him for helping with putting together this podcast. And I hope you enjoyed it.